Just when you thought it was safe to drink the water at school, a new campaign is underway to strengthen the state's lead poisoning standards. To discuss the initiative, we're joined by Julie Tai, former chief of staff for the State Department of Environmental Conservation and current president of the New York League of Conservation Voters. Welcome back to the show, Julie.
Thank you so much for having me on, Dave.
So back in 2016, state lawmakers and Governor Cuomo agreed to legislation setting the maximum safe amount of lead in drinking water in schools to 15 parts per billion. Why do we need to revisit that standard?
So back when New York did that, it was nation-leading. It was a very large step forward in reducing the amount of lead that we're dealing with in school drinking water, which is where children spend a lot of their time and drink a lot of water. As a result of that, we actually found there was testing that was required to be done by schools, and about 48,000 water outlets required remediation across our state. We use reporting that was done as a result of that law, the Safe School Drinking Water Act, and we analyzed what schools have in their outlets now based on a lower level, because our friends at the American Academy of Pediatrics recommend an action level of one part per billion, as opposed to the current state standard of 15 parts per billion. You know, we've looked at this, and we actually looked a little bit higher. You know, the FDA uses a standard of 5 parts per billion for bottled water. And we looked at how many outlets would be impacted between 5 parts per billion and 15 parts per billion. And we found that there are another 63,000 outlets that need to be remediated. So in our view, there's a lot of room to grow. There's a lot of outlets out there that contain lead, and it's time to lower that standard again.
And you're calling for, what, 5 parts per billion then?
We're calling for 5 parts per billion. You know, again, the American Academy of Pediatrics suggests 1 part per billion. Since we've just stepped down to 15 parts per billion a few years ago, we think another big step down is going to be a big improvement in providing safer drinking water opportunities for our children in schools. And we don't want them to end up drinking bottled water.
But why not go then just for 1 parts per billion, so I don't have to have you on again 4 years from now and you're telling me we need to upgrade, you know, thousands of outlets again? Not that I wouldn't love to talk to you again, Julie, but it seems like we could do something else 4 years from now.
It is possible. It's definitely possible. I think, you know, ultimately no lead is the standard. But right now there are very few states that have gone down even to 5 parts per billion. Part of this is also looking at the feasibility of addressing these issues. We would be the largest state to go to 5 parts per billion. Montana, Illinois, Vermont, and Washington, D.C. are the only states that have reduced their action levels to 5 parts per billion. So we would certainly be the first, you know, the largest state in the nation to codify that goal. And we think that would be a lot of progress.
I don't know. Back when a young up-and-coming Julie Tai was at the DEC, they would have gone for 1 part per billion, as far as I'm concerned.
I can tell you that we did some economic analysis on this, mm-hmm. and remedying those 63,000 outlets now, which is about 17% of the water outlets in schools across the state, would cost about $30 million to remediate. We do think that it's something that could come from existing water grants that are available now. And we know the state has already spent $28 million following the 2016 round of testing. So we think this would be a good use of state dollars to protect our kids. Lead is something that, you know, causes a significant amount of long-term irreparable neurological and behavioral health problems, especially for our children.
Any indications where this occurrence of lead at either the 5 parts per billion threshold and higher, or 15 parts per billion threshold and higher, is most prominent, or is this something where it just sort of pops up all over the state?
It does pop up in a lot of, in many different school districts. We have done an analysis in our study that shows on a region by region basis. You know, in the Capital District, for example, about 20% of outlets in schools in that area are between 5 and 15 parts per billion. All of the ones that are 15 parts per billion or more have been remedied. Either they've been replaced or they've turned outlets off so that they're not in use anymore. But everything over 15 parts per billion has already been addressed. So we've handled those. There are some states that places in the state where it's a little bit higher. Long Island seems to have some fairly high numbers, but we have looked at this on a regional basis, and you know, around the state, statewide, it's about 17%. But we do have a map in our study, which is available on our website, which is www.nylcv.org, that folks can look at where various what the levels are in various parts of the state.
If we were to lower the threshold to 5 parts per billion, what sort of time frame are you thinking about in terms of implementation?
First, you'd have to check all the testing, and we've obviously looked at that. We would imagine it would be, you know, a year or two for people to for the schools to go and get those remedied. We understand it takes a little bit of time to do that, but I think there's funds that could be made available fairly quickly to help get those remediated right away.
What sort of testing has been going on since 2016? Has it been consistent, you know, checking of lead levels since then, or was this something that happened, you know, in the immediate aftermath and school districts were allowed to, you know, ignore the issue after then?
Well, right now, I think the law requires periodic testing, and I think it's not specific enough, and we are recommending that there be more regular testing rather than that sporadic testing. You know, it's something that we can make sure will happen. And if we have more regular testing, then we will know the levels of lead. You know, in some cases, it's not things that change very frequently because either you have lead in your pipes or you don't, or you have lead in your outlets or you don't. So those are things that we do want to see testing because sometimes lead can be mobilized, but this is something that having more regular testing would be beneficial.
Is there any indication whether there was adequate lead testing, you know, since the pandemic occurred? I know that's disrupted a lot of in-person activities, so I'm curious, you know, with kids were out of schools, buildings for, you know, most of 2020, is there any indication that testing fell by the wayside during that period?
I don't think we know the answer to that. I mean, I think there's been a lot of breaks from the schools, but this is certainly something we want to make sure continues moving forward so that kids are not unnecessarily exposed to lead.
We're talking about lowering the allowable threshold for lead in school drinking water, and our guest is former power pitcher Julie Tai, who is the president of the New York League of Conservation Voters. We've been focusing so far on school settings. What about just in general, in our ordinary, you know, day-to-day life, should we assume that we're drinking from, you know, water fountains that are free from lead? You know, do I need to worry about the water in the Capitol?
You know, I think, I don't think you do need to worry about the lead in the Capitol. But I do think
because I stay hydrated, Julie, I do not miss a glass of water.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, and I'm glad you're drinking it from a fountain and not drinking from a plastic water bottle. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
No, we believe, you know, school is important because kids in particular are vulnerable to the detriments of lead. And we know they spend a lot of time in their schools. Are there other places where lead is a problem? Yes. Drinking water is a component of it, but it's also about paint and dust. And there's been a lot of attention paid to the need to address paint, and that is definitely something that we are very interested in particular in New York City, where there has been a lot of problems at NYCHA in addressing lead paint, and that needs to be remedied because these are people who are most vulnerable and need assistance from the state and the city to help remedy that action. So certainly we want to make sure that we are reducing lead in all components because these are things that are avoidable. And cause serious damage, in particular for children.
Right now,
much more of an issue for children as they're developing.
Right now, what's the status of legislation that would lower the threshold with regards to schools?
Senator Gustavo Rivera and Assembly Member Richard Gottfried, who are the chairs of the health committees in both of their respective houses, have introduced legislation to update the Safe School Drinking Water Act, Senate 7122 and Assembly A160. And the assembly bill has moved out of the health committee and the Senate bill has been introduced. And we are hopeful that they will address this issue as part of the state budget this year.
Yeah, it seems like this type of item, which would have, at least should have, some sort of funding mechanism to it, considering it will be required to actually make the changes, would realistically only get done as part of the budget, right?
It doesn't need to be, because it would take a little time to do the testing, but I do think it's ideal if you can match up the funding to support the efforts, particularly when our school districts are already struggling right now.
Not to get too inside baseball on our listeners, is there any indication that the lawmakers will be able to get these bills, I guess, written into their one house budgets, which sort of indicate what the legislature is prioritizing from their part of the budget?
Well, it's certainly what we called on when we did a press conference with the two sponsors last week, and we think that they will take this issue very seriously to their conferences, and so we remain very hopeful that the bills will be addressed as part of the state budget.
And when it comes to addressing issues of lead, either in schools or in municipal drinking waters or just all around New York, do you feel like the state, whether it's the DEC or the Department of Health or whatever agency might have purview over this, is adequately staffed and has enough resources to handle this type of situation?
Well, this would be, drinking water is handled by the Department of Health, and it's certainly, we have brought our report to their attention to alert them. They do have a team of people who are focused on public drinking water, and that would include schools. So could they use more staff? Always. But in this case, I think that this proposal could go forward and it would not necessarily require them to have more staff to help implement it.
Would schools need additional resources to monitor this or check on this? Or do they have the capacity already? Or would that be just part of the infrastructure investment that would be included potentially down the road?
I think primarily the cost factor would be about remediating any outlets that were below the new standard. So I think primarily the cost would be about infrastructure.
And speaking of the danger of lead more generally, for years the state's Advisory Council on Lead Poisoning Prevention has struggled to achieve a quorum due to a lack of appointees from the governor, which has obstructed their ability to make really any official recommendations. After initially promising to appoint more members in 2019, the governor opted instead to sign legislation last year to change how a quorum, is calculated. What do you think of this drama? Is this something that's on your radar at all from the League of Conservation Voters?
Look, I think that the state health department has a responsibility to make sure that our drinking water is safe. And there are many advisory bodies that they convene to help them with that. But at the end of the day, they're the ones who are responsible for making sure that our drinking water is safe and meets standards. So to me, that's the most important thing. Having input from the public is always critical, and we would envision, you know, anytime they do a rulemaking, of course, there is an opportunity for the public to comment. You know, as far as the specific, you know, advisory committee, you know, I'm not so concerned. I mean, obviously, we'd like to see them convene and make recommendations to continue taking action. As long as the health department keeps acting, I think that's what's most critical.
Well, we've been speaking with Julie Tai. She is a long-distance running enthusiast and president of the New York League of Conservation Voters. Julie, thank you so much for making the time, and I look forward to talking to you again in 4 years.
Great. Thank you so much. We'll be talking before then, I'm sure, on other issues.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.